so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed.
Well, welcome to this edition of Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale, and I am very proud to be your host. And we just love doing this show because we feature Western artists, both music and art artists, from artists to spur makers and just everything that's Western we love to feature on this show. And I'm really excited about today's show because we have a very special lady with us who's doing a very special event that we're going to talk about. And that's Lisa Hampton, wife of R.W. Hampton. And before we get into more of that and really give Lisa a proper introduction, we're going to go ahead and kick this show off with a song that I really love by a guy we all really love, Mr. Don Edwards, singing Rounded Up Glory.
I've been thinking today as my thoughts begin to stray, your memory to me worth more than gold. As you ride across the plain, mid the sunshine and the rain, you'll be rounded up within the Master's fold. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. When that milling time is o'er, we'll stampede no more. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. May we lift our voices high till the sweet by and by, and be known by the brand of God's love. For His property we are, and He knows us from afar, when He rounds us up in glory by and by. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. When that milling time is o'er, we will stampede no more, when He rounds us up in glory by and by. Upon the plains of the cowboys that have fame, while the storms and the lightning flash by, we will meet to part no more, upon God's golden shore, when he rounds us up in glory by and by. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. We'll be rounded up in glory by and by. When that milling time is o'er, we'll stampede no more, when he rounds us up in glory by and by.
Oh, I love that song. I am so tickled to have this lady with us today. She is really stepping out of her comfort zone to come on the radio show. In fact, I think this is her first ever time to be featured on a radio show. She has certainly set up a lot of these for her husband, R.W. Hampton, that this woman juggles more balls than anybody that I know. And the really amazing thing is that she keeps them all in the air really well at the time. Don't know how she does it. She manages her husband's career. She runs their ranch. She is an entrepreneur and has another whole business going that's just exploding. But I think her proudest things, her proudest roles that she plays in her life is of wife and mother. She is one of the most dedicated and committed moms and wives that I've ever known. And I think the best thing about her is she is a sold out daughter of the King, and she loves the Lord with all of her heart. And we're going to talk about a really special event that she's putting together, but first we're going to get to know her a little bit better. And I am so proud to welcome to the show Lisa Hampton. Welcome, Lisa.
Well, thank you so much. I laugh because I used to have, you know, you have a little tagline on your emails or whatever, and I used to say we were raising, you know, people talk about raising their good quarter horses or their certain line of cattle or whatever, and ours is raising kids, you know. We do have horses and cattle, but we basically make great kids, and then we make some good music, and
yes,
we, you know, try and make some good horses, and I hope we always keep it in that order, you know.
Yes. Well, there's nobody I know that does it better than you, Lisa. And so before we don't get a chance to talk with you and get you on the air very often, like never. So I really would like for people to get to know you a little bit better. So could you just kind of briefly let us know where you grew up, how you and RW got together, and how you landed in New Mexico?
Oh, my goodness. Well, sure. The condensed version. So I actually was born and raised up in Central Oregon, a little town called Bend. It's actually not that little anymore, but that area of the country had a history with showing horses and 4-H, loved 4-H and FFA, and always showed horses from, you know, my parents kind of grew up, helped me grow up with a background of that horse culture, but we didn't really have a ranch or anything like that. We didn't raise cattle. In the summers, we would go to some friends' ranch over in Eastern Oregon and help them with brandings, and actually I loved it. Every May, we'd go after the branding, we'd move the cattle, and those summers were a lot of fun, just camped out horseback, and a bunch of us kids would be, you know, given different jobs of learning how to move cattle and how to work with them. And old Jim Starwalt was just a sweet man, but he and his wife were some incredible people that had a great influence on my life. So I loved the cowboy culture, but I really wasn't actually raised in it. You know, it was kind of on the outside, always looking in. In my high school and college years, I started doing more with rodeo, and ended up running for rodeo queens up there. I met a gal named Miss Rodeo, I don't know her name at this point, but she was Miss Rodeo Oregon at the time. And she kind of introduced me to all that, and it looked really neat. I loved modeling and things before that, and this was kind of along those lines, but it tied into the horses. And so instead of a beauty pageant, it was speaking, public speaking that I loved from 4-H and FFA, combined with my horses, combined with the fashion and the glitter and glam and glitter, you know, all that. And so it just was right up my alley. And so I started doing the Rodeo Queen thing, and R.W. has a great song about the sisters Rodeo Queen called The Cowboy and the Queen that kind of actually sums up our story. But, you know, I honestly married a cowboy, married a team roper, PRCA team roper. We had, unfortunately, in the way a lot of young marriages go, we were still really dear friends, but we had one son together, and the marriage didn't make it through the rodeo, but we're still good friends. And after that, my parents started putting on music festivals in Central Oregon, and it was called the High Desert Western Arts Gathering. And I was a single mama and active with real estate, and I did not like those weekends when I didn't have my son. I just hated those, and I would just work through them. And so my folks kind of said, well, hey, come with us some weekend. And so I thought, oh, sure, you know, I didn't have a horse event, and I didn't have anything going on that weekend, and I didn't have a whole lot of clients to just dump my time into. And so I loaded up and went to Medford, Oregon. And in Medford, I met a couple of key people that would then shape the rest of my life, which is really interesting. We actually met Gary Brown that weekend. That was the first time I'd ever met him, and I met R.W. And we were just friends for several years. I also met that weekend, I met the Sons of the San Joaquin and Don Edwards, and I don't know, Belinda, you may have even been there, but I think those memories and those days were just so instrumental in shaping. You know, you think about one weekend and how it shapes the rest of your life. But we ended up being friends. That was in September of 1995. And so we ended up being friends and for several years, and started dating in the summer of 97. And we were married by New Year's of 98. And combined our kiddos and started really, R.W. had a daughter that was in college at the time, and then he had two young boys, and I had a young son, so we merged our families and started raising boys. And I moved to New Mexico with my son, and it's just kind of, the rest is history, right?
Yes, so then you went on to have two more boys of your own. You've got a passel of boys, girlfriend.
We've got five boys and one daughter, and then between them, now we've got four grandsons and two granddaughters. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Lots of fun.
You so do not look like any grandmother I've ever known. So,
thank you. I hope to continue that for another 20 years.
Oh my gosh! Well, y'all have a beautiful place there in New Mexico. And when we're gonna listen to another song here real quick, and then when we come back from this, we're gonna talk about where you live and a little bit about what that looks like and the challenges of where you live. And we're gonna listen to. Actually, my old singing partner, late singing partner, Curly Musgrave, when I was thinking about this show and what we're going to be talking about and the event that you're planning, I was thinking about all the ranchers that I've ever known are truly stewards of the land that they care for. Because if the land isn't healthy and the area isn't healthy, then their stock are not healthy. And so it's just very important to them. And it's just such a legacy passed down. And so this is a wonderful song that Curly wrote called Stewards of the Range.
In a young land that is choice above all others, in his wisdom land the good Lord chose to bless, to flourish and to feed the vast dominion's need from the fertile noble nature of her breast. To her heartland came the granger and the cowboy, to fulfill a plan the master had arranged. Then held by the master's hand, and you're upon the land, and embrace the task of stewards of the range. the steward of the range ain't just a cowboy or a woman who'd be blown by winds of change. The roots run deep and strong in the land where they belong, holding to the wisdom of the ways. God bless the stewards of the range.
But kingdoms oft reject a father's wisdom and turn against the breast from whence they came. Through proclamation and misdeed, they'll bite the hands that feed and wonder why they burn with hunger's flame.
But governments and thrones will ever crumble, and the despots buried neath the sands of change. Then those who've passed the test, the master's hand will bless the land and the stewards of the range. The steward of the range ain't just a cowboy or a woman who'd be blown by winds of change. The roots run deep and strong in the land where they belong, holding to the wisdom of the ways. God bless the stewards of the range. The steward of the range ain't just a cowboy or a woman who'd be blown by winds of change. Our roots run deep and strong in the land where we belong, holding to the wisdom of the ways. God bless the stewards of the range. God bless the stewards of the range. God bless the stewards of the range.
Oh, I miss that, Lisa. There was still so much music in him. It was, we lost him way too early.
Yeah.
Way too early. But he definitely had a wonderful connection to the land, and I know that you all do too. So why don't you share with our listeners where you all live? Because it's spectacular. You have those gorgeous mountains behind you and that rolling prairie out in front of you, and it's awesome.
Yeah, so we actually ended up kind of, we were over south of Clayton, New Mexico, which is just about as flat and just prairie grasslands as far as you can see for miles and miles, and we went from there to over here at the foot of the Sangre de Cristo. So we are in northern New Mexico, northeastern, on the east side of the Rockies, and as R.W. so eloquently puts it, we're where the mountains roll out into the plains, and it's true. We've got these big mesas right behind us, and the Sangre de Cristos are the southern tip of the Rocky Mountain chain. We get the front winds, which is enough to drive a person out, to be honest. these March winds, they're hitting again today, but they tend to dry the land out and they tend to run people off, but they keep the population low, but they are, you know, an important part of the whole cycle of everything, and blow those storms off into the plains, so out to the Midwest. But yeah, it's beautiful here. I needed a little bit of trees and a little bit of mountains, and he wanted a big wide open view. And so when we went property shopping, we kind of had our little hit list, and evidently airports weren't on it because we are about 4 hours from any airports, and considering we travel nonstop, we might have put a little more consideration there, but
yeah. Oh my God,
have lots of good downtime to, you know, unwind on our ways to and from everywhere we go. So.
To and from. And I love it whenever we get to come visit you and we're on our way. And we're usually coming through Albuquerque on our way up to you is kind of normally how it happens. But you'll always shoot me a great list. Can you stop it? And pick this up.
Absolutely. Yeah. No one comes without water and paper towels, right? You know, come bearing your groceries.
Yes.
But our little towns, the closest ones is 14 miles away. The next one's about 20 miles away, and they both have a population of around 1,000 people. So they have a tiny little grocery store that's sometimes open, sometimes not. We've upgraded, though. In the last year and a half, we have gotten a dollar store in each town. So we have two dollar stores now. I mean, it's big time. It's big enough time that I actually took pictures and posted them on Facebook. I was so excited for the dollar store. But they carry bacon and some eggs and occasional frozen foods and, you know, the kid things like potato chips and whatever. But, you don't have to worry about running out of laundry soap now. You can actually go to town and get some.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, and I also know that living out like that, you've had your challenges. I know that, but there was one time when I was there staying with you guys and it had been, you guys were in a drought situation. Water was like terrible and we had to be so careful. We would like leave dishwater in a pan and use that all day long to wash dishes and just, you know, try to heat up a little bit to warm it up a little. I mean, water was just so, so precious. And so tell us about some of the challenges you've had of living where you are.
Well, about 2011, I think 10 or 11, I take it back. It was actually before that. 7 or 8, we actually started into a pretty big drought cycle here, and it's lasted about 7-8 years. Last year we had a nice year. The year before we had a pretty good year, but the rains came pretty late, so we didn't have cattle. Last year we were able to actually add cattle back in. But we, you know, with that drought, we not only didn't have grass. I mean, it was like Dust Bowl days. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. People had no grass for entire states, you know, really had no grass and pasture for their cattle. Everybody was feeding year-round. Cost of feed, you know, a bale of hay right now that costs about $7 was up between 12 and 14. And that was right when the fuel was super high. You know, you can only imagine ranchers they just sold out. There wasn't any real way to keep going with the cattle, and we were there as well, and so we thinned everything down to just the bare essentials. Kept our son's little 4-H herd and some of our horses, and just kept, you know, cut everything else, because not only did we not have cattle where we lived, we actually didn't have water. And so we had to haul every single drop of water that every living creature on our place drank, and, you know, watered every plant, everything. So that adds up in a hurry, and your new job becomes hauling water, because nothing, you know, you can't go anywhere for 24, 48 hours and everything needs water again. Mm-hmm. And so it was a pretty crazy time. You know, I understand these ranchers that talk about the drought and how hard it was, and around here they talk about the dirty 30s and how they actually had to put their cattle down and shoot their cattle in these huge piles. It was something that was always in the history books until this time, and it kind of ties into where we're going with these fires, because you know, we're seeing history relived right in front of our eyes, and it's scary. And the plains are resilient. You know, the grasses do come back eventually, but they're very deep rooted grasses. So when the top is gone, you just end up with sand for a while, for a period of time, and that blows. And when that blows, you literally cannot see. It's the craziest thing, but you literally, it fills the skies, and it literally turns the skies black. We can see almost to 5 states from where we live, out into Colorado and Oklahoma, the panhandle of Oklahoma, over into the corners of Kansas and Texas and obviously here in New Mexico. And it's when you can see that far normally on a clear day, and then you realize that you can't see across the highway that's a mile away from you.
Wow.
or when you look out in the distance and it's not blowing here, but you can't see the mountains because of this this big black cloud, and you realize there's no moisture in it. It's just all dust.
Mm.
It's pretty impressive.
Wow.
And not in a good way.
not in a good way. No, not in a good way. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's wow. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to do another song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the point of this show, and just kind of fill people in on what's going on and what's coming up. But this is a dear friend of all of ours, Bryn Hill. And this is, he has tons of songs that I just love, but this song to me is really touching. It's called the Hill Family Song, and just really talks about just about family. And that's one of the things I love about the Western culture, the cowboy culture, is that we really operate as a huge family. And I think that's really important to all of us. And so we're going to come back and talk about more about that right after we listen to Bryn Hill singing the Hill Family Song.
Saved for these latter days, and we have been made to follow His way. And there may be times we might turn in despair, but He is always there. We will go on, and we will not fall, and we will not run. We will be strong, and through the darkest night, stand and fight. Through the deepest pain, our love remains, and we will go on. Battle of life. It rages outside, so we face the storm and ready to ride. And there may be times we must stand on our own. We are near. Darkest night, stand and fight. Through the deepest pain, our love remains, and we will go on. The day will come when we will be with Him again, but until then, we must go. Cannot fall, and we cannot run. We must be strong, and through the darkest night, stand and fight. Through the deepest pain, love will remain, and we will go on. We will go on. We will go on.
That was the Hill Family Song by Bryn Hill. So gosh, I mean, when it gets as dry as what you're talking about, there's also the real threat of fires, grass fires, is there not, Lisa?
There is. We went through one ourselves. It didn't catch our ranch. It burned within about a mile of us. And it wasn't to the magnitude that these are, but it happened in a few hours' time, moving, 60, 70 miles an hour. It definitely was the craziest thing I've ever seen just on the horizon. We woke up, and it was I think they said it was approximately 10 miles away when we woke at about 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And to a big red line on the horizon, and we walked out the front door and could feel the heat from it that far.
Wow.
But it was blowing straight at us, and I can't even fathom how people are on the front lines of something when, and this is a grass fire, not a tree fire.
Right, right.
But when it goes blowing that, it's just incredible. So we were really touched by the fires over there this spring, earlier this month. Had a lot of friends that were touched by those, and just kind of sat on my heart, I guess, and then God gave me an idea, and I thought, no, God, I don't have time for this.
Well, we're going to talk about your idea after the next song, but let's talk about the fires a little bit to really kind of give people, pull in, in the southwest part of the United States are very, very aware of the fires and the devastation. Maybe the rest of the United States, somewhat, not so much, and maybe across the world, because we do have international listeners that aren't aware at all. And so can you just, I have a story I can share, because I do know a rancher that was deeply affected by this as well. But can you kind of relate some stories of what actually happened in Texas and Oklahoma this last spring?
Sure. Well, I will start out with a few statistics. I don't know how many people have read, but I mean, this is a national disaster that's really under the radar because it's not populated lands. You know, it didn't affect a big city. But it did, they are saying at this point it burned a cumulative between the four states, it burned over 2 million acres in those 48 hours. You know, that's a huge amount of land between, I think the fires burned for 2 to 3 days. But if you can fathom that wall of flames moving 60, 70, 80 miles an hour with these winds that they, we just had incredible winds. And I think a lot of people in the West don't understand what starts those is a lot of times it's electrical power lines that the winds, when they're blowing, over that 50 mile an hour in this part of the country, the power lines start kind of snapping and popping, and they will create sparks, or they will break the power lines, and then those lines go down and start those little fires. And oftentimes, a grass fire, it doesn't take but a spark when that wind is blowing behind it. So you go from one fire to dozens of fires in a short period of time. And we just, we don't have the manpower out here in the West. But, millions of acres, 5 lives lost, 3 of them really young people, just heart-wrenching stories when you get to know the people who knew those people. I've got a lot of friends that were mutual friends, and they're just, just crushed. Homes, lots and lots of homes, and just countless livestock. I don't have a total on the cattle that have been lost and horses, but I think they're trying, they're working to try and come up with that between Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Colorado. It's going to be in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of livestock. And that doesn't count wildlife, massive amounts of wildlife as well. Deer and it's everything. It literally just takes everything in its path.
Oh, it does. It does. I had a friend that she and her husband have a ranch up in the panhandle of Texas, up there. And she said that they went out in their pickup to try to go see if they could locate at least some of their cattle and try to get them out of harm's way. And they found a group of cattle, and her husband dropped her off. And he said, just kind of hold the cattle here. And I'm see if you can kind of hold them here on foot while I run, go see if there's any more that are close. And she said she was standing there and the cattle were just agitated, but they were just kind of sitting there like they really weren't sure what to do. And she said all of a sudden she got hit with this blast of hot air and then ashes. And she said that, like you said, that fire was going like 70 miles an hour. And she said, I literally thought, this is it. I'm gone. I'm done. And she said, and she couldn't see anything. It was just the smoke rolled over. She was having a hard time breathing. And she said that through the smoke, she could see the headlights of the pickup, and her husband just, came screaming up, and she jumped in and they hauled out of there, and they were able to get out. But then she said, of course, they lost all of those cattle. They lost, I forget how many, I think they lost 4,000 acres of grazing land on their ranch, and a couple hundred head of cattle. And she said, and the thing that was just so poignant to me was that she said they literally, after the fire blew through like it did, it's moving so fast, she said that they just then they had to just drive around and put cattle down. Yeah. And she said she was shocked at how many of the cattle were so badly burned but still alive.
Yeah.
So it was just a hideous, devastating.
If you think about it, a mile a minute. That fire, those fires move a mile a minute. That means that it's in one spot, you know, a 10-foot spread for seconds. But in those seconds, it burns everything. And it the heat and the smoke that's coming ahead of it is just so devastating. And, you know, you just can't get out of the way. And the saddest part is the things that survived only to have to be put down.
I
have a good friend whose parents' ranch was also devastated. She and her husband's were not. Thankfully, they were spared. But she has video of, you know, and this is a little bit on the gruesome side, but it's reality. They actually have to put down the cattle that are too far gone to save, and then they have to drag them to big piles to take pictures of them to turn them into their insurance companies for the losses if there is anything that can be done. And mostly it's not so much for insurance but for banking, for the banks, because the banks have loans on those cattle. And so, you know, and then another gentleman we talked to, he actually lost his family had been, I think he said three or four generations back, had been raising a certain and perfecting a certain line of cattle, and they were known for their genetics, and they literally lost their entire herd, everything that they worked for four generations in one in moments. And that was his comment, was he said, you know, 1 minute was there, and within an hour, our entire ranch was gone. And I think that, I think when people see national disasters on TV and when they hear about floods and things, you know, you have this time period. I think a tornado is kind of like a fire. It hits in just moments, and in moments, everything's changed and it's gone. But that suddenness is so hard as part of that shock. And, you know, just how to deal with that. And in these cases, you know, like your friends, they can come back an hour later and it's just gone. It's just leveled. And it's so
everything,
hard.
Everything's gone. And people don't understand in that part of the country, it takes a lot of acreage to sustain every single cow, every single cow-calf pair that's on that property. And so to lose these thousands and thousands of acres is just is devastating on so many levels, so many levels. Well, we're going to go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Say one of the neatest things I've seen, that same gal, she has organized with her local 4-H groups and FFA groups. A lot of those cows were under such stress that they calved, so the babies weren't affected by the fires, but then they lost their mothers. So you have this large population now of orphaned calves. So they have started with these 4-H'ers and FFA kids a group where the ranchers could bring their orphaned calves in to these kids to raise. And the kids will donate their time, and the community's finding milk replacer and things to donate so that the families don't have to pay that cost. And then when the calves are raised old enough, they're going to give them back to those ranchers that they came from.
Wow.
So what an amazing way to touch a family, you know, and because that rancher may have lost 300-400 head of cattle, but maybe he does still have 10 calves, you know, and that, you know, it's just a place to start, you know, to rebuild.
That's one of the things I love about our Western community. It just that makes me tear up. It just is way cool. Well, wow. Okay, I'm going to gather myself while we listen to your husband sing. this is one of my favorites that your husband, again, has tons of songs that I absolutely love. Some that you guys have written together. It's just what a team you guys are. But this is one of my favorites, and we're going to listen to In the Shadow of the Cross by your husband, R.W. Hampton.
Yeah. in the shadow of the cross, I have finally found some peace. As I journey up the rocky road of life, it offers shelter and relief. Through the mountains and the valleys, it marks the way so I'm not lost. As I travel up this steep and narrow trail in the shadow of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God, help me to remember that precious blood that stains the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, oh, the healing power there. Freedom from the pain that life may bring, there's only comfort and care. For a bright and mighty promise, it was there he paid the best that the master had to give in the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God, help me to remember that precious blood that stains the tree. God, grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, it was all done for me.
I love my brother. I love my brother.
That's my favorite song of everything he's ever written. That one's still my favorite.
Yes, me too. Me too. Of course, and we also know what heart went into writing that song. Yeah. And all the suffering he went through to really come to that thing. So that's, I love it, Lisa. Well, I tell you what I love is that you have come up with an incredible, just imaginative and creative way to hold a fundraiser to help out these ranchers. Because, I mean, of course, there's, you know, the banks are going to work with them, or hopefully work with them with their losses. And some of them had insurance to some degree, but there are so many expenses that are completely fly under the radar and nobody's going to help anybody with, that are devastating to these ranchers. And you really, you know, being right there, and you've really recognized that, and you've galvanized and have come up with this really cool idea to raise money to, and every penny will be going to these ranchers to help them. And so why don't you tell us about your vision and what you've put together?
Okay. Well, first off, I gotta correct you, and I'm not one to normally correct people online, but I will say this was not mine. It's a little bit like R.W. Song. He's always said, you know, he held the pen, but God gave him the words. I firmly believe I woke up the morning after this, after the fires, and after having watched everyone's Facebook, you know, feed blowing up with friends showing video of them escaping the fires and then going back to their homes and seeing the destruction and just it was just heart-wrenching. But I woke up the next morning and literally God said to me, "You need to do this," and He gave me this idea, and I thought, "No, God, I got to tell you." That's a great idea, but you need to give it to somebody else because I can't right now. This is the busiest season for us. March and April are just insane. And he just kept laying it on my heart. And what he laid on my heart is that people everywhere want to do something. They want to help, but they really don't know how. And, you know, we had some big fires in 2010 and 11, and they did some fundraising concerts. But, you know, realistically, you can only put so many people on a set. And more people wanted to donate their time and play music and do that than you could honestly have an audience sit and listen to in one place. And your venue is a, you know, your seating capacity is whatever that venue will hold. And so this idea kind of resonated with me because we're not capped by either of those. And so what it kind of bears a little explaining, but basically what it is it's called Out of the Ashes, and it will be an online music festival for 2 days at the end of this month. And so because of the nature of how online works, we are not limited by any kind of a capacity of people joining this. As many people as want to make donations and ask to be added to this group that we can process. Now we are going to cut off the date of ticket sales. We do have an end date so that we can actually get everyone added in time, because heaven forbid we actually have people paying at the last minute and can't get them into the group, you know.
Right.
But the idea is that people will purchase a ticket. We have a website set up, and we can release that later, where they can purchase their ticket through Eventbrite. And then they get an email with a link, and they click on that link, and that's going to take them to a Facebook page that is private, only for the people who have purchased their ticket. And they'll be added to that group. They request to be added, and then we add them. We cross-check to make sure that they've made the donation and purchased their ticket, and then we add them. And then the entertainment is going to come in that group. So the cool thing is that entertainers that we have a lineup will have a set list on the hour, and during their hour they can come and perform live right there in that group, and you can watch it on your phone, on your computer, wherever you're at. But it'll pop up with a notification that RW Hampton is live in the Out of the Ashes event. And if you're an RW Hampton fan, you can go click there and go watch him and actually interact with him and comment, and he'll talk and tell you what's going on and play some music live, and you know, you can make your requests or whatever. And so we can have I think we have 22 slots, so we'll be streaming live music all weekend. And then the beauty of it is maybe you're not attached to your phone the whole weekend, but if you've purchased your ticket, you can come back at any point and rewatch those videos at a later date even. And so, you know, you won't have the interaction, but you can still get the material. All of the funding, you know, will then go to these ranchers. We're going to we actually have a 501c3 that's going to gather the front end of the funding and help us process it. Called the Ranchers Gathering Crisis Fund. And these wonderful ladies are going to help make sure that everybody's added into that group and help us with the back end of things, the operational side of things.
Wow.
And we're actually going to turn that money over to the Working Ranch Cowboys Crisis Fund, because they already for 15, 16 years have a crisis fund in place that they've helped previous fire victims, people with health issues. They actually did a fundraiser for RW when he went through cancer treatments, and we had no insurance and had to do radiation and chemotherapy, or not chemo, but multiple surgeries and radiation and things, and it probably would have cost us our home, to be really honest. And they did a very nice fundraiser and were able to help us with some of those expenses So we love to be able to give back, you know, and this is just one way. So they will actually do the, there's a lot of different people raising funds and funneling it to them. And then what their job is to actually screen the applications and decide where the needs are and filter mm-hmm. that money back out to those communities. And they're phenomenal at helping with those day-to-day living expenses. You know, the person that's lost their home and they have to go rent another home. And,
right.
You know, their ranch, they've lost all their cattle in their ranch. So they have no income now as well, but they still have a job. Mm-hmm. The people who have to go out and buy fencing because they've got to build their fences back up. I mean, miles, I forget how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles of fencing they have estimated was burned. And it's about $1,500 a mile to replace the barbed wire fence.
Wow.
It will be, the losses will be in the millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, most people's cattle are not insured. Most people's horses are not insured. I know if we lost our ranch right now to a fire, we've discussed this, we would have, you know, pretty good coverage on the buildings to eventually rebuild the actual buildings. We would have very little coverage on the contents, and we would have no coverage on the horses and livestock, cattle, you know, even equipment that, you know, your lawnmower, your tractor, your hay baler, your, you know, your fencing equipment, all the things that you have to have just to do your job. I mean, these guys that lost everything, they lost everything that they make their livelihood with as well. Tack, you know, saddle tack. Maybe they could
wow.
saddle a horse, but you don't have a bridle or a saddle to ride
right.
in. You don't have spurs. You don't have, you know, you don't have the fencing equipment to go build the fence that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so comprehensive that it's hard to wrap our minds around. And then you add to that the extra expenses of daily living expenses when you don't have a home, whether it's doing
right.
laundry at the dry cleaners or the laundry mat every day, to feeding your family. You know, we had a house fire once and we had to live for about a month in a hotel, and our expenses, just living expenses, were outrageous. So we get that, and I think that's where, you know, I just feel like it just laid on my heart, because we do know to a very, very small extent what they must be going through, and
sure.
the magnitude of it's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. It is so, it's so, I'm so proud of you for putting this together. I know how busy you are, and I know that, you know, just this one thing on your plate had to have been a very, very difficult decision. And I know that you'll have the entertainment community is going to rally behind you, and I know you're going to get some really key people that will really not kick it up a notch. And so we're going to be in prayer, and would invite all our listeners to be in prayer with you as well, that the Lord will bring in who's supposed to be involved in this. And we're going to listen to one more song, and then we're going to come back and kind of wind this up again. But this is a lady that I know, I believe you know, Trinity Seeley, and this is a lady who ranches with her husband up in Wyoming, I think they are now. And I love this song that she wrote, and it just really just talks about riding for the brand. And that, you know, there's the metaphor of, like, we ride for the brand physically on ranches, but then we ride for the brand, which is the brand of the cross as well. And so, which is what really pulls us all together, to support each other through these kinds of things. And so before we wrap the show up, let's listen to Trinity Seeley while she sings her song, Rides for the Brand.
Everything he does wholeheartedly. lover to a cowboy. What it is about this barren land, or my cowboy's callous hands, that's gone me by the heartstrings, so I never wanna leave. I guess they'll never love the cowboy, 'cause he rides for the brand, and he rides.
Well, that this hour has flown by, Lisa. Oh my goodness. So before we let you go, I want to make sure, do you have an actual website that you can share with everyone that they can go get signed up for the event? And when can they start signing up? And I know that details are evolving as we speak. And so kind of give a timeline of when you think you'll have more details.
Right. Hold on just one second. My phone, of course, chose then to ring. Eventbrite is actually where they can purchase tickets. You asked me that, and I lacked preparation to getting the actual website online. You can go to rwhampton.com. We will have a direct link from there probably on Monday or Tuesday. You can also go. We do have the link on RW's Facebook page, so RW Hampton Facebook. Or I guess it's Facebook/RW Hampton, but you can go there. The event is called Out of the Ashes 2017. When you click on that, it's going to take you to an Eventbrite link where you can purchase tickets, and you want to purchase a ticket for each person that would be watching, wanting access from their own Facebook account. So you would, if you've got multiple people that you want to purchase tickets for, unlike a live event, if they're all going to be watching off of one mobile device, you only need that one ticket. There is also a way that you can make a donation on there, and all of those donations will go straight to the organization, So if you want one ticket but you want to make an extra donation, you can do that as well.
Great.
We will announce the lineup over the weekend, at least the tentative, what we've got. And obviously we're still looking for some additional, but we've had some really exciting people in big names looking at this and talking to their management. So we just need to get final approvals. But I'm super excited, and I can't wait to announce that.
It's going to be fun. And we will, of course, have links on our Equestrian Legacy Radio. We will be providing links for that, as well as our Facebook pages. And also, we're talking about doing another episode, maybe a special joint effort with Gary and I and Bobby Jean and the three of us hosting a show that will be a week or so before the event. So we need to know when that cutoff date is, if you can advise me of that, so we can absolutely get a show up that has more details and this is such a worthy cause. And we just, again, so proud of you, Lisa, that you took this on and answered the call that the Lord placed on your heart to actually go out and do this. And again, I would request prayers for the families who lost precious loved ones in this fire, not just the devastation of their financial losses, but literally lost family members. And so thank you again, Lisa, for being on the show. You're awesome. I love you, sister. And it's so fun to have you, to get to talk with you in this context. So
thanks,
it's just,
so much.
I appreciate you being willing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, I do have an email and an 800 number if people want to have that, because I know when this airs, we'll have so much information that people can get. 1-800-392-0822. Is our office. If they can want to help, if they have questions, they're welcome to call us there. And then
give us that number one more time. Say that number one more time, a little more slowly.
Yeah, 1-800-392-0822.
Okay.
And our email address is outoftheashes2017@gmail.com.
Great.
And
great.
If they go to Eventbrite, if they're familiar with that site, Eventbrite is spelled EventBrite.com, and they can then search Out of the Ashes 2017, and that will take them there as well.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you for being with us again today, Lisa. So proud of you and proud of what you're doing, and proud to be a part of it. I'm very delighted that I get to be a part of this as well.
Excited.
And it is. It's exciting. And we're going to go ahead and close out your part of the show with the Hansen family singing Go Rest High on That Mountain.
I know your life on earth was troubled, and only you could know the pain. You were afraid to face the devil. You're no stranger to the rain. Go rest high on that mountain. Sun, your go to heaven a shouting love for the Father and the Son. Oh, how we cry the day you left us. We gathered round I could see the angels' faces when they hear your sweet voice sing. So go rest high on that mountain. Sun, your go to heaven a shouting love for the Father and the Son. Go to heaven a shouting love for the Father and the Son.
Oh, those kids can sing so beautifully. Oh, love that. And I love this show. And I am just, again, so proud of Lisa and what she's doing. And as I was preparing for the show, the Lord really just brought the scripture to mind in 1 John 3:17-18 that says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word, tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that's exactly what's happening here with this Out of the Ashes 2017 fundraiser, is that we are loving our brothers and sisters who are hurting so desperately right now with deed, indeed, and in truth. And I'm just, it epitomizes to me what the Christian community is all about, and also what the cowboy community is all about. And so we would encourage you to go to the websites that Lisa has indicated, and keep an eye on our websites. We'll be posting information as we get it, and my Facebook page, Belinda Gale, and we will keep you all apprised of the details as they evolve and emerge on this, and be a part of it, and do what you can. Buy the tickets to be on the concert, but don't hesitate to donate a little bit more if you're able to, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, to support our brothers and sisters in desperate need right now. And so with that, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the gift of your time. And thank you again to our very special guest, Lisa Hampton, not only for filling us in on this very worthy Out of the Ashes 2017 fundraiser, but for tirelessly putting in the time and the effort to make this happen in the midst of her very, very busy life. Always a huge thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scene to make this show happen. And please do check out all of the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And remember that all of these shows are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. And you can even download our mobile app that allows you to take us on the go with you. So you can access us from your phone and your iPads and all of those other great devices they have out there. And if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all of your trails be blessed.
A dusty old coyote was busy drinking from a cool rolling river, and when it had enough, he said, "I thank you, river. I swear I was so dry. If it were not for you, I do believe I would have died." But the river whispered softly as it leaned against the bank, "I'm glad that I could help, but I'm not the one to thank. You see, I'm only a river. I'm not the one to praise. I'm only a channel of the good and gentle rain. And I can only carry what I have received. Love's living water. Anyone can drink for free."
Well, the grateful old coyote is a lot like me and you. Sometimes we don't give credit where it is really due. So if tonight you find that somehow something good has come from something that I said or did, or some old song I've sung, you can rest assured that any quenching of your thirsty soul is all because of something much greater than us both. 'Cause I'm only a river, I'm not the one to praise. I'm only a channel of the good and gentle rain, and I can only carry what I have received. Love's living water, anyone can drink for free. Love